You're with the Health Report on ABC Radio National.
Coming up, we're going to be talking about a relatively new tech. Well, it's not that new, but it's a technology called liquid biopsies. And it's the idea that you can pick up stuff in the blood, DNA, which might be able to either diagnose cancer in the first place or monitor cancer once you're being treated. But is it ready, as they say, for showtime? Stay tuned.
Earlier this year, we spoke about some treatment updates for asthma for adolescents and adults, where the advice came out from the National Asthma Council to ditch the blue puffer, ideally, and to replace it with a combination inhaler that had both steroid in it and a quick but long-acting version of the reliever. So it's a combination inhaler, no more blue puffer. Do you remember that, Norman? We're checking your memory.
I do. I remember it as if it was 3 weeks ago.
Excellent. What we didn't talk about then was children. And children were not included in that update, but there has just been the first ever randomised controlled trial that's looked at this combination inhaler, so steroid with the reliever in it as well, as the sole therapy for children aged 5 to 15, so no use of the blue puffer.
Now, once upon a time, I was going to become a respiratory physician before I joined the ABC in paediatrics. And for many years, there was such a dearth of research in children and asthma that you were actually using adult drugs in children, what's called off-label, because there hadn't been, the trials had not been done. And there was a lot of research. A lot of it came out actually from Western Australia with Professor Lou Landau and Peter LeSwift, and also out of the University of Melbourne Royal Children's Hospital, which suggested that asthma in children was not the same disease as asthma in adults.
That's right. And that's what Paul Robinson, the person I spoke to, said as well.
But now we have some clarity.
We do. We have research happening in this space. It's also very helpful, I think, for parents and caregivers who are sometimes a bit cautious or worried about the side effects of steroids in kids. So the question is combination therapy the way to go in kids? What are the potential harms? Are there any? I spoke with Paul Robinson, who's the Professor of Respiratory and Sleep Medicine at Queensland Children's Hospital.
What we know from current Australian data is that there's almost 500,000 children that are affected by asthma. And what we know about poorly controlled asthma is that it affects about half of our asthmatics. So what that means is half of the children with asthma continue to have an unacceptable level of symptoms and continue to have asthma attacks. And the approach to asthma has changed in the last decade, because there's been a realization that it's important for us to not accept asthma attacks as part and parcel of asthma, but to aim for all of our children and adults with asthma to be free from asthma attacks. And by helping them be free from asthma attacks, we're helping reduce their risk of bad outcomes from asthma and also lifelong outcomes from asthma. So this study is looking at a strategy to manage asthma to try and improve asthma control and reduce asthma attacks in children 5 to 15 years of age. And it's taking an approach that has become more commonly used in the adolescent and adult populations around the world, where we can give a single medication or a single inhaler that contains both a reliever and a preventer.
So that's the combination inhaler that we saw discussed in the asthma guideline update this year for adults and adolescents, where the advice was to really ditch the blue puffer, that salbutamol, that quick reliever, in favour of this combination inhaler. Is that correct? So is that the way that we're headed for children as well, aged 5 to 15, do you think, to move towards this combination therapy?
I think we're moving towards it. What we need is evidence to support it being the most effective approach. And what we know about asthma is it is not a condition where we can simply extrapolate evidence from older age groups. So what I mean by that is if something works in adults, say that it will work in kids. We actually need childhood-specific evidence. And this is what that study looks to try and provide.
So what are some of the key findings to come out of this, of the CARE trial?
So what they did in the CARE study is they took children with mild asthma and they were included in this study if they'd required their Ventolin on 3 or more consecutive days in the last 12 months, or on average were taking it 2 or more days per month over the past 12 months, or they'd required an urgent asthma medical review in the past 12 months. In essence, these are children with mild asthma with evidence of having asthma attacks or asthma symptoms in the past year, and they randomized them. So in half of the children, they simply took their Ventolin as they would normally do for symptoms, And in the other half, they gave them the combination inhaler or the air therapy, which in this case was Symbicort, budesonide, formoterol. The main aspect they were interested in was asthma attacks over the course of the year. And I think what was really encouraging in this study is they were able to see that actually in those managed with the combination inhaler or the air therapy, they were able to reduce the number of asthma attacks by 45%.
Which is quite significant. So the combination therapy was really quite effective at preventing asthma attacks, but it's also probably even more key that there were no adverse effects, because I think a lot of people get quite nervous about steroids in children, but there didn't appear to be any impact on things like growth.
Yes, which is important. So there's, whilst we're very interested in the beneficial effects, we're interested in making sure we minimise risks or side effects of medication, and we saw no effects on growth.
This trial was undertaken during the pandemic, so there were public health measures in place and potentially less circulating bugs and viruses. Do we think that might have impacted the results in any way?
It did probably have an effect. One of the things they were unable to show in this study was that a number of severe attacks, and those are attacks which precipitate or cause the need for oral corticosteroids to be given, which is a stronger form of steroid to try and open up the airways and counteract inflammation. They weren't able to show a significant difference in those type of attacks. And that may reflect the fact that there were just less attacks happening, and those that happened weren't as severe as usual. And I also think that when they looked in particular age ranges, so this was a study that was interested in 5 to 15-year-olds, they did a subgroup analysis where they look at individual age groups. So for instance, they look at 12 to 15 and they looked at 5 to 11-year-olds. Is they saw this beneficial effect in those aged 12 to 15, but the results didn't quite reach significance for those between 5 to 11 years of age. And again, it may reflect different aspects, one of which could be that there were just less asthma attacks happening.
So the greatest efficacy was seen in that 12 to 15 age group, was it? And the same thing wasn't seen in the younger children?
That's correct. And there may be other factors that come into play that we need to try and understand. For instance, in younger age groups, such as 5 to 11-year-olds, there's a greater dependence on the child communicating how they feel to the parent, which may be not as prominent, you know, or as much of an issue in the slightly older kids who may have that ability to sense the symptoms and respond by giving medication.
Okay, so they can self-administer. At the moment, Paul, if you go to somewhere like the National Asthma Council in Australia, this combination therapy that we're talking about, which could potentially reshape asthma care for children down the track, but it's not currently recommended for children under 12 years of age. How long does it take for the results of something like this trial to actually impact clinical care on the ground? And what else do we need to know before that actually happens, before guidelines update?
I think this is an important step forward. I think it's important to realise that the process by which the recommendations appeared in the Australian Asthma Handbook for 12 years and above is a process where there's been a number of studies done in that age group, that it's been something adopted on international guidelines and then has now filtered through to Australian guidelines. And I expect the process for the younger kids will be one where we will look for further evidence. There'll be further discussions about understanding exactly who is likely to benefit from this approach, but also understanding what the barriers are likely to be to implementation and what the challenges might be.
So for adults, you know, the big update really for 2025 was ideally ditch that blue puffer and use some form of combination therapy if you need it. For children at the moment, for parents who are listening, thinking, you know, are things going to evolve in this space? It's really check in with your health professional and ensure that your child's asthma treatment is optimised. But at the moment, the advice of ditching the blue puffer doesn't hold for children.
I think for the younger age group, the most important thing is we need to have a really strong focus on good asthma control. And so it means that basically we need to be aware of the children with asthma that continue to have symptoms, that are continuing to use their blue puffer more than twice a week, or have a history of exacerbations in the last 12 months, that they should see their health professional and be asking about the role of a preventer, an inhaled corticosteroid preventer.
Professor Paul Robinson at Queensland Children's Hospital.